So I'm going to speak to you from the reading, about the reading, sorry, from Lamentations that we just heard, although probably Psalm 37 could use some explanation, especially the last verse, but we'll maybe make allusion to that in some way. So I want to talk about, in the context of this reading, I want to talk about what it means to be transparent before God, how important that is. So this week I was listening to this podcast regularly by this woman originally from Winnipeg. She teaches at Duke University in North Carolina. And so she has conversations with interesting people. The person she was talking to this week was a guy who has been a funeral director in a small town in Michigan for 50 years. And he's also a very well-known published poet, which is the reason that she was drawn to speak to him in particular. And she was talking to him about what he's learned over the course of 50 years. And he said, here's one particular incident. I think it must have been early on in his career that really got his attention and helped him think about death and grief. And again, kind of being transparent. And it was this. So there was a woman, it was the family phoned him, and a woman had died at the age of 104. And she had died on New Year's Day. And she had been with her family, her four daughters and their children. And I don't know how far it went, 104 could be like, great, 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 whatever. I'm not sure. But then she'd been with them, had a great time with them, and died in her sleep New Year's Day early in the morning. And that was it. And then the daughters came in and saw him, named Mr. Lynch. He saw the funeral director, and he says, "Wow, what an amazing legacy your mom had. You know, she saw generation after generation. She saw so much change happen. She had such a rich life and so full of accomplishment and all this family, all this happiness. And she died surrounded by people that she loves so peacefully. You must be so happy." And they said, "I'm sorry, Mr. Lynch. We're just feeling pretty bad that our mom just died." And he said to himself, why did I not know that? It really got his attention. Why did I not know that? And why didn't I say that? Obviously he had this whole kind of speech ready, right? And it didn't strike him that despite this really great idea he had about this woman's life, that these four daughters were grieving the death of their mom. Doesn't matter that she was 104 and died out of these circumstances. The Book of Lamentations is about, it's about grief. And grief, as you know, is not a reasonable or moderate thing. Grief is, as somebody said this, it stuck with me, grief is immoderate. And it cannot be, we say all kind of things to each other out of the best possible good wishes and goodwill. We do. We all do it. I'm not holding myself an example of people who doesn't say this. I say it too. We all say things like, "Well, at least, at least he was hit by a meteorite and didn't see it coming, Or at least he died with his boots on in the saloon shooting the bad guys. I don't know. I'm just thinking a dumb example. But it's always at least, it's at least they didn't suffer, at least that. And it's fine. We say that, but it's, we have a tendency, we don't always say, and it's to kind of moderate the grief, right? We moderate our own grief and trying to moderate the grief of other people as well. Or Kate Buller gives this example, and it's not always wrong, but it's just kind of something we need to, I need to think about it. And that is, there's a reason there's a reason for everything. And you're going, of course, in the midst of grief, it doesn't feel like there's a reason for everything. It's immoderate. You know, when you think, well, as I maybe mentioned this to you, as Kate Buller's husband, who Kate Buller had stage 4 cancer, neighbor said to, and they said this to him out of perfectly goodwill, came to the door, said, well, you know, there's a reason for everything. He said, well, I'd sure like to know the reason for this. You know, and again, we don't mean it ill when we do this. The Book of Lamentations is immoderate in its expression of grief. And it doesn't say, well, it doesn't give any of these kind of things that we sometimes say. And it doesn't say, well, at least the city of Jerusalem lived to be 500 years old before it was destroyed by the Babylonians. You know, we'll always have that. It is, as you know, it's as it was mentioned, it's a cry of grief over the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem being more than a city, Jerusalem being a temple, Jerusalem being where the king lived, Jerusalem being, if you're in ancient Israel, Jerusalem being literally the center of the universe. And the center of the universe has been destroyed. And I keep thinking of scenes of people living after the firebombing of Cologne, something like that, you know, living in those kind of ruins. Or maybe you can look at Ukraine right now. People are living in those kind of ruins. So because this grief is immoderate, the best way to try and deal with it is through poetry. That's the theory of the writer of Lamentations, because poetry forces us into kind of a discipline. It's got a structure, it's got a form, and it disciplines us to try to express what it is that we want and need to say. And so the particular form this poem takes is it begins each verse with a letter of the alphabet. So it's literally it's Hebrew, so it's not A to Z, but you know, it's literally A to Z. You know, it's your grief from A to Z, right? From beginning to end. And so you see it laid out in this very particular, very disciplined kind of way that's meant to be, we are going to say everything about how we feel about grief as much as possible in this format. So this has to do with the immoderate nature of grief. So you'll see in this very contradictory things. As you read through the Book of Lamentations, you see contradictory things. On the one case, we've been reading through Jeremiah, right? In the Book of Jeremiah, pretty cheerful book, right? Everybody find it very cheerful? Lots of humorous stuff in it? No, not particularly. It's all about Jeremiah grieving and God grieving through Jeremiah over his people and saying to them, you are headed for destruction. Not just like he's Thor or something, but the way you're living, you're tearing your own society apart. You've turned your relationship with God apart. You're worshiping idols. And out of that flows every kind of destruction. And you are about to bring yourself into a very bad place. And so we see in these poems, people grieving over Jerusalem going, yeah, he's right. We brought ourselves here, you know, in this expression of guilt and shame and grief that they have brought themselves there. And on the other hand, them saying, how did we get here? We didn't do anything. It's not our fault. And you go, well, how is that possible to say two contradictory things like this? You know, there's no reason for my suffering. On the other hand, I'm the reason for my own suffering. And it's in the midst of grief, and because of the medium of poetry, you don't worry about contradictions. I'm just quoting somebody, the logic of loss is not governed by explanations. It just is. It's raw, and it's real, and it expresses itself in ways that, as I said, even seem to contradict each other, even in the scriptures themselves. regardless of that, the point is this, and the reason why it's so contradictory. In the Book of Lamentations, what we see is people who are standing before God in complete openness. I feel guilty. I don't feel guilty. I feel like a victim. I feel like I brought this on myself. I don't understand what's happening. God is not answering me. Whatever it is, they are standing in plain view of God in utter transparency. Contrasted this with the fact when their minds and their hearts were full of idols, cluttering up their soul. Now they're standing before God with complete openness. I don't know if you remember a few months ago, I talked about Harry Nauer and using the image of with open hands. We stand before God with closed hands, with open hands. They are standing before God with completely open hands. Center of the Book of Lamentations is a verse you know, and I'm tempted to make us sing it, except if I led you to singing it, it would be a horrible thing. And that is the very center. So the book is built, not that the culmination is at the end, but the culmination is in the middle. Chapter 3. And just anybody know the most famous verse in chapter 3 of Lamentations? Anybody know this? What's that? Psalm 137. Great is thy faithfulness. You know, do people remember that hymn? Great is thy faithfulness. And then another great hymn, which Thomas John Keeble wrote, which is, new every morning is the love. And you're going, I'm standing in the middle of Jerusalem. I have every conceivable chaotic emotion you can possibly have, which I'm trying to express. And out of this, in the midst of this ruin, I stand and say two things. Great is thy faithfulness, and new every morning is the love that you give to me. That is transparency before God, and it is an openness to God, and God is open to them. Did they blame God for what was happening to them? Did they say it was our fault? Yeah, they did. Did they say, it wasn't our fault, and we don't know what's happened. We don't know why this happened to us. Yes, they said that too. But what matters is that hearts were, as I said, hearts and minds that were previously full of false images, of idols, have now been thrown down and destroyed, and they stand before God with absolutely open hands. So, there is one person in history who has always stood before the Father with open hands in self-offering, hearts not full of idols. That's Jesus, our God. And we see him if we read between the lines in every page of the Book of Lamentations. His complete transparency before the Father. So Mr. Lynch said, he learned a lot from that exchange, you know, not to say, well, at least, but to simply listen to people in their raw expression of their grief, even though he didn't think they should be feeling that kind of loss. He lost somebody close to him, and that he lost his daughter in her 40s, very tragically, but not unexpectedly. And he said, the more he thought about it, he's not a conventionally religious guy. On Sunday, he goes to AA meetings rather than to church. But he said, the more he thought about it, and the older he's gotten, there is one verse of scripture that keeps coming to his mind. And that is, we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And he said, he feels like those who have gone before us are standing in the anteroom before heaven. We still have advocates standing in the narthex of heaven, so to speak. And then he said something, and I don't know what to make of this. I don't know whether it's theologically orthodox, but it but I think it's important, and this is what he said. He said this about his daughter, whose life had been very tragic. He said, guy probably in his 90s now, at least late 80s, he said, I now feel that my daughter, who's gone before me, knows me completely. She knows my heart. She knows my mind, which she didn't actually during the course of her life. I feel she knows me transparently. Not sure what to make of that, but there's some kind of, there's something important there, I think, to think about. So let us abandon our idols as much as we can by the grace of God that clutter our mind. And let us turn to God in truth, transparency, even if our prayers sometimes are contradictory and don't make any sense, but offer them to God with trust and transparency, and speak God's word back to himself. And feel the incredible freedom that comes from abandoning our idols and turning to the one true God. Let us pray. Gracious God, you know our hearts and you know our minds. How can we ever imagine that we can hide anything from you, or we need to? You look on us with love and delight. Even when we turn away from you, you come and search for us and find us. You search for truth deep within us, Lord. Lord, come, continue to find us, open our hearts to you. Help us to speak the truth, and in the end, to speak your praise. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.